This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer.
Flight Training the Way I See It. This is our every 2 week podcast, and this is a video podcast also available as well as the audio podcast. And we're going to discuss what I wrote for December's newsletter. If you don't get the newsletter, go to our website and you'll find a way to subscribe to the newsletter. And you get that every month that comes out. There's always some very interesting things in there. But I always do the video podcast of the newsletter after I've written it. So that's what I'm doing now. So the two topics we're going to talk about today are my take on the fundamentals of instructing. It's that one, which would be interesting. And the other is on creating your own lesson plans. So two things today. Then we're also going to talk about the new products we just released, which are, by the way, the Flight Instructor Lesson Plans 4th Edition. So those are now done, revamped, edited, and cleaned up again. We continuously work on those to get those as good as we can make them. If something changes, we re-index to the correct handbook, so on and so forth. There's a lot of work in that. Then second thing we released is the very new, it's the IFR lesson plan. So this, if you're going to be an instrument instructor, this is what you need. So the IFR lesson plan, that covers all of the instrument rating, ACS, technical subject areas, and maneuvers, and it also covers the flight instructor and instrument airplane, PTS, currently. So those are all aligned to those resources there. So those are really good, and they're detailed, those particular ones. And the nice thing about those is when you have the line item you're supposed to teach, it also, if there's a reference, like somewhere this comes from the AIM or it comes from the Instrument Flying Handbook or the FAR, F-A-R, then it will be there for you, so you don't have to go hunting for that. So that's kind of nice. So anyway, there'll be a place on this newsletter, on the newsletter, you can click, or you can go to cfibootcamp.com and go to the online store and see what's in there. Okay, well, there's that. Now, sponsored by, right? So I want to talk to you about the fundamentals of instructing. And the fundamentals of instructing are required tasks to be taught and tested in order for you to become a flight instructor. And it's always a source of complaints and a source of, I don't know how I'm going to master this, from the students. And there's generally three reasons for it, okay? So there's generally three reasons people don't like it. The first is it has nothing to do with flying, right? So the instructor app has never been exposed to anything in the FOI, in the Aviation Instructor's Handbook, or their training in the past has never reflected any of this, right? It's basically psychology and teaching. So the second thing is the Aviation Instructor's Handbook is pretty big. It's pretty large, and it's filled with a lot of theory and overstatements. If you don't believe the overstatement, you read the definition of learning, then it will state it in one way, then it will just basically say it the other way around in the description of it. So a lot of overstatements. And there's a lot of similar material. So it can look like that you read something, you understood it, and you go to the next couple, three paragraphs, and you don't remember what, was that related to this thing, or what's the deal with it? So that's the other part that people find it difficult to make sense of. And then the other question is, how would the DPE test it? Do I have to memorize this stuff? This comes up all the time. And here at CFI Bootcamp, what we do is we use something we call FOI roadmaps. And these are basically mind maps of every chapter. And we do this in the class. And they're also available in the online store in case you're interested in such things. And there's a, so it basically says how everything is related in the chapter, what's related to what. You know, it sort of categorizes things in a mind map kind of way. And we also put in mnemonics when they're available for you to memorize such things, because some of these DPEs go line item by line item, right? And they ask you, and they expect to hear these sort of words, Reaper, you know, in your head, laws of learning, you say Reaper, okay, readiness, effect, exercise, intensity, primacy, and readiness. So those are the laws of learning. What are they? Then you can go into that. But generally, we have the students memorize what's on the FOI roadmap. So we also have another handbook called the Check Ride Quick Study Guide, which has FOI flashcards in there, and that can help. But the back to the FOI roadmaps. What we have in there also is there's the second part of the book are worksheets. And so we took out a lot of, maybe just put the mnemonic there, the acronym there, and then you fill it out. So it helps get your head around it. And what we tell the students to do is do this to the much as possible from your own memory. And then when you can't remember something, don't just go find the answer in the FOI roadmap. Go to the handbook in that chapter and read that section, because obviously there's something there that was missed. It's another way to get it in your head, right? So that's one thing. So So I'm going to like go on a little trip here and tell you how the rest of the world does things. And I like to do that. When I form an opinion about something like this, usually I lean on my experience of teaching in the UK and being a pilot examiner there as well, and see how other countries do their teaching and testing, right? And if we're the only country doing something, and other countries seem to be able to create pilots that don't crash and don't follow the sky and be able to get people their pilot certificates and train others, then sometimes I go, why are we doing this, right? So that's been my question. And so now this is my question, and now my opinion is my opinion about the fundamentals of instructing. So in other countries, to become a flight instructor, you only need to have a private pilot certificate and about 150 hours, and you have to go through a course of training to become a flight instructor. But I can tell you what's not in there. The fundamentals of instructing aren't in there, except for a few countries, Australia, New Zealand. And what they basically did was took our handbook, chopped it up in the pieces that they thought they wanted everybody to know, and they produced that. So that's what, if you go and you try to find information about becoming a flight instructor in Australia, New Zealand, some other places, you'll find that's their take on it. It's not the whole big book. And the reason it's not the great big book is because you can't read that and make that operational for you. So that means, what I mean by that is it should be a way for you to take everything in a chapter and say, now how can I apply this to what I'm going to be doing? That's what's missing, right? What's there is all the theory. And there's some advice, and don't get me wrong, there are places in there that there are things like that. But in general, you need a chapter summary of like, how do I take the information that's in here and make it like, what can I do with it? What's important? And as a teacher, which I am, a flight instructor, over time, these things will occur, right? You will know what to do, what to say, how to present information. You'll know it all. And the reason you'll know it all is because you internalize and you look at people's reactions and you see the results of your work, right? And then you learn how to, when you write test questions, like one of my weaknesses is writing test questions in terms of multi-choice ones. And when we wrote, I had to write a bunch of questions for university students who are going to be graded on that, then they all complained. And they said, these aren't very good questions. And actually, they're right. So then I go back to the Aviation Instructor's Handbook and any other resources I can find, and I see how to write better questions. And so then over time, you kind of visit this book when you think you need it and see what your issue is and do it that way, right? Yes, you do generally have to have a way to teach somebody, but I think teaching, people do that all the time. You do it right now. You teach little kids how to do something. You teach something new. You teach how to put up a Christmas tree, you know, which I'm looking at now. I mean, you maybe teach someone how to do that. You're teaching all the time. You may not be good at it, but you're teaching a lot. So I think that typically, well, and also teaching flying. Let's talk about that for a second. Teaching flying doesn't require you to be a really good teacher. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Yes. It can take you longer to learn something, but someone can teach you how to fly as not a flight instructor, as long as they're competent in the right seat and can handle anything the student might do, which is, I mean, I that kind of training we really don't provide. To be honest, we don't have emergency like here. We just tell you, low to the ground is dangerous, and up at altitude, you got time. This is what we'd say, and we would show you maybe a bounce landing, this is kind of your cutting your teeth, so to speak. And other countries do it the same way. And as long as you got a private pilot who's skilled, has enough time, in particular in the make and model, and didn't understand anything about the fundamentals of instructing, they could teach you how to fly all the basic maneuvers, take off, land, all the way from pre-flight to landing, right? You could do all that, plus cross-country flying, but mainly that. And you think about that, the reason is because, according to the Aviation Instructor's Handbook, we're only doing five things when we're teaching in an airplane, which is why it's all the same. You explain something, that's usually on the ground. Then you demonstrate something, that's in the air. Then after that, you give the student practice, and you review and evaluate their performance. That's basically it. That's what we do for everything. Sometimes we say, for slang, for fun, you'll like this, flight instruction is like sausage making. You don't want to know what goes inside as long as it looks like a sausage when it's done. And it kind of looks kind of like that, all right? So we say that. So in our country, we have to have a commercial pilot certificate and an instrument rating. For what, is what I say. Why? Why is that necessary? The difference between a commercial pilot and a private pilot who has 150 hours really isn't that great. It's just 150 hours, right? It's not too much time. And what were you doing in that 150 hours? You know, flying cross-country, nothing to do really with teaching, maybe the commercial maneuvers, right? By the way, this is the only country that I'm aware of that has chandelles, lazy eights, eights on pylons, steep spiral is being tested. Other countries don't even know what these things are. And if you get a military pilot who just flew in the military only and came out, they give them a commercial pilot certificate. It's a gift, right? But the issue with that is that when they go do their flight instructor certificate, they've never done Chandelles, Lazy Eights, Eights Home Pilots. It's not in their curriculum. So therefore, we have to teach them how to do it. And it becomes a little problematic, you know? So anyway, there's that. So I don't know. There's just varying. But I think it really adds a lot of extra time and extra money to what we're doing, right? And, you know, you think about private pilot certificate, you could probably get one done, my guess, for $12,000 if you could find it, up, say, upwards of $15,000, $16,000 at maybe Palo Alto, $18,000. There's that. But then you need a course of training for a flight instructor, which might cost you another, say, $10,000. Let's just say it costs that. So now you're into it for about $25,000. Well, that's a heck of a lot different than what we do. You're into it for $60,000 to $80,000 before you're done with this. And that's a big nut to crack, you know? And so I think it'd be nice if we could, if I could, over the years, keep petitioning the FAA, which I have, for to be able to make flight instructors from private pilots, as long as they have enough time. So that's interesting. So, like I say, the rest of the world doesn't really do this FOI thing. So then the other thing we have about this is, you know, what's going to be tested and how it's going to be tested. When I watch certain DPEs do the testing, and I understand that you have to cover everything in the PTS. I get that. But the way they do it, typically, is they just go line item by line item. They go the required task. Usually, it's flight instructor responsibilities and professionalism. That's a required task. And then any other task. And they usually pick, 99% of them will pick the chapter 3, which is the learning process. That's the theory part, right? And so then they go through it line item by line item, and I go like, so this is just, firstly, a lot of memorization. Because what am I going to say when they say, what are the laws of learning? I got to know those, so I got to memorize those, right? A good teacher hasn't memorized any of this. They may have memorized it a long time ago for a test, but they've chucked it out the window a long time ago, right? So if I would say to DPEs who test that way, try to give that test, your test, to any teacher who teaches from say, middle school, so 7th grade through 12th grade, or at university, and see if they pass it. My guess is they won't. Even though they're great teachers, wonderful teachers, some of them won Teacher of the Year award, they couldn't pass a test like that. So to me, that doesn't have a lot of credibility. That's just ticking off boxes and so on and so forth. The other DPEs that test it quite differently, they test it by scenario, by watching you teach and listening to you and seeing how you're explaining things, they just start ticking off boxes. Well, you couldn't have made it unless you knew the laws of learning. You couldn't have done this, so not specific to that. So DPEs who do that, then good on you. That's a good way to do it. And then if you're unsure about something, then ask specific questions about things. One of our DPEs allows the open book test on this during the oral. So that's pretty good, right? So it just depends on who's going to do this. We have another one who's a DPE whose wife is a teacher. And so it's pretty intimate with this because they've been around this for a while. So teach it, do it more thoroughly, Will. But in general, that's how we do it. So I just think it's a shame that we have to have this book with no really ability to use the information that's in it. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad book. It's like imagine, you know, a psychologist who's going to study psychology and they have to understand aerodynamics, you know, before they can get their degree or their certification. They'd be like, what is this? And why is this so complicated? Do I have to know all this? Would be the same similar kind of questions. Now, it's true that you will use the information in the aviation instructor's handbook. You will use that. But you will, you know, it's hard to make it all sink in and work. So that's what I have to say about that. The other thing I'm going to do, so currently, you know, the only things we do in the class, of our particular class, is we do a 42-hour online course, and about 5 hours of that, maybe more, is fundamentals of instructing, a lecture. And then there's a workbook in there. And the workbook then covers scenarios. And then there's assessment in there, like multi-choice questions about each chapter. And then what we do is we bring you into the classroom. That's 42 hours of classroom. About 4 or 5 hours of that, maybe five, I would say, is fundamentals of instructing, right? All the chapters over again using the mind maps so you can see the relationships. Because that way what happens is you can go back to the handbook and it kind of makes more sense because you have like a skeleton, something to hang all this stuff onto, right? And then we use the FOI flashcards for drill and kill. You know, that's what I call it. Because, and you should, oh, by the way, for some practical advice, You should only do that if you're getting ready for a flight test. In other words, if you want to memorize these mnemonic things, that's okay, but don't do it too early and then have a test that's way out there, because you'll just have to do it over again. Because I'm here to tell you, once you puke out these mnemonics, if that's how you're being tested, you're never going to visit those again. If I ask you 2 weeks from the date of your test that you passed, you know, what this is or that is, what are the characteristics of learning, you won't say Pima anymore. You won't know anymore. That's because it's not valuable to you. Now, the concepts are valuable, but the actual knowing those particular things aren't. But they are for the oral. That's that. So in the meantime, what I've decided to do is one of the next books I'm going to write. I've written so many. So many. I mean, all of the stuff is written by me, every bit of it. And so, there's years and years and years and years and years of work in there. And I hope I articulate the information to you well in a book or in one of our videos, because that's my only chance. I got to get it right the first time, right? I don't have a chance to iterate like a flight instructor. I can talk to you, you can talk to me. I didn't understand, I do understand, that kind of thing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a companion guide to the Aviation Instructor's Handbook for each chapter. And I talked to the lady who basically wrote most of this book, and I made kind of a faux pas at first, right? I said I just want to take this book and throw it in the garbage, you know, and start over. And she said, well, you know, I wrote part of that book. And I went, oh boy, I can't walk this one back. This is going to be rough. But then I explained why, and I also explained what I wanted to do, which I wanted to make it operational. I wanted to make a companion guide to this thing that every single chapter is a little summarized. And then it says, how can I use this in my day-to-day teaching or in building a lesson plan or whatever it is? Give you some concrete stuff for that. So that's not going to happen anytime soon, because that a lot of mental energy is going to go into that. But that will come out. So anyway, I hope that in the meantime, I'm going to continue to work with the FAA in the hopes that one day we'll be able to make CFIs with a private pilot certificate and a trimmed down version of the current Aviation Instructor's Handbook. That's what I would like to see. But, you know, it's probably not going to go that way because, as you know, it's the new airplane flying handbook, which, by the way, I think looks cheesy. It doesn't look very nice at all. The cover is terrible, right? So if any of you work in that side of the FAA, I don't know, but I don't know what was going on there, but that's a terrible cover. And then they changed it from two columns to one single column now. So it kind of, some people find that harder to read. You might like it. But the content is good, so let's not discount the content. The content's pretty good. But anyway, but they, of course, added a chapter. Couldn't just rewrite what's there. We've been teaching flying for how long? More than 100 years. And the best handbook to learn how to fly is the 1965 version of flight training. I think it was called the Flight Training Handbook. We have it as part of our course. We just give it to you. But it's 200 pages, and it covers all the maneuvers and very succinct. Okay, it's line drawings. They're not beautiful artwork, but you can use the text. What I also thought about was just basically taking that text, converting it into nicer-looking fonts, putting images into that, and just calling this the substitute for the airplane flying handbook, because it really has what a private pilot needs in it. The issues we have with the handbooks are they're giant, and they cover everything that you need to know from private through ATP, right? And that's just too much information. It's really difficult to say to a student, okay, for the aerodynamics, I know it's complicated, but you can read from this paragraph to that paragraph, halfway through stop, and then go four paragraphs later and read that again, because this stuff doesn't matter to you. It's really difficult to use those handbooks in that way. So I'm working on that as well, so it's kind of a solution to that. But anyway, there's that, so the handbooks. And so what I was getting at was these handbooks are integrated in to all the curriculum that the FAA has. And it would be really nice to be able to trim those down as well and put those in a place where we had just the information that we needed as a private pilot. Because you look at this content and it's voluminous, right? And that's just one of the handbooks. There's a weight and balance handbook, risk management handbook, advanced avionics handbook. All these things can be tested. So I don't know. Just seems to be a lot to do. So I'll work on this thing and see how it goes. And I'll keep you updated. And again, if you don't know, the new airplane flying handbook came out October, I believe, the 5th. So you can get your copy at FAA.gov. It's free. And make sure you got the most current information. They took out a few things. So there's also the nice thing they did was there is a section in the front which shows what they changed, which is really good. Some of it's still wrong, by the way. Okay, let's look at the next topic on creating your own lesson plans. So most people who are training for a flight instructor certificate, create their own lesson plans. I said, wow, that's kind of a mountain of work. I'd estimate it takes around 6 months of pretty steady work for you to do them all. And that's lesson plans for all the maneuvers for private through commercial and CFI. And also lesson plans for the technical subject areas like air medical factors, runway incursion, aerodynamics, principles of flight, they call it, flight controls, so on and so forth, right? Systems. So that takes a lot, right? And here's a little secret. Those have already been done, right? We've been doing flying for 100 years more, right? And this has been done over and over and over again. It's sort of like the same, the video, you know, you see a guy going down the motorcycle with a camera on top of the head, you know what they're going to do. Or a GoPro inside of the airplane, you know the pilot's going to go to a particular airport or a motorcycle and do something. It's going to have a posted on YouTube when we're done. That's been done already. It's just letting you know, unless it's something really unique, that video already exists. It's just not you in it doing it, right? So I tell people, like, if you want to get familiar with an airport that you've never been to, go to YouTube. You'll probably find information on that. And then that'll be pretty good. And then you'll be able to see it. You don't have to make it on your own unless you're a YouTuber, I guess. That's okay. But at any rate, these lesson plans have already been done. So why are we doing it? Like, for example, a teacher. Let's take a substitute teacher, someone who just gets called in, like being on reserve, right? Comes in to teach a high school, and they're teaching something about, I don't know, algebra. Do you think they say, oh, tonight I need to know what they're going to do. I better make a lesson plan on that. No. The lesson plan's already there. They just use it, right? They use it. They look at it, make sure they understand it. And if not, maybe they shore it up with some, you know, worked examples or something or whatever. We'll go back and read it themselves. But then they teach it, right? They teach from the lesson plan. That's what we do. We provide already built-up lesson plans for you. They're done. They've been done a long time. And they've been tested with hundreds and hundreds of students, right? And they all seem to pass check, right? And seem to be able to teach people. In fact, the last guy sent me an email thanking us because it was a really good class. And he said that not only do I feel like I got really good training, he says, but I feel like I can just start teaching like tomorrow. And that's the result we want. And that's because they then spent all this time making their lesson plans. Like a carpenter doesn't make his own hammer, right? Or saw, right? It's there. You go and you get it. But you have to know how to use it. So that's the thing. So then why don't these CFI programs make you do them yourself? And I'll tell you why. It's because you must fully understand what you're going to teach. So, and most of the time, you don't know that because you kind of mostly knew it was going to be on the test, right? For the FAA test, you know exactly what's going to be on the test for the written test. But you almost know, for commercial pilot, for example, or private pilot, this guy never tests fill in the blank, aerodynamics. So what do? You look at that subject and you kind of go through it. Okay, I'm probably not going to get questions on it, so I don't really have to know that much about it. But now all of a sudden you do. So then flight instructors, especially with certain areas, they've got more than 2 years experience, but they really only do student pilots and private pilots, right? That's it. And maybe the occasional commercial pilot. So their knowledge of those kind of things, in particular the fundamental instructing, is very weak, very low. Right, so what they do, instead of teaching it to you, they say, hey, make a lesson plan on it. Then you kind of teach it to yourself, then you tell it and sound, okay, that kind of sounds familiar. Or maybe they're really good at it, and they just make you do that anyway. That's to shore up your own aeronautical knowledge. What we do instead is we just have an online course that covers all the weak air, well, all of it, right? It covers all the technical subject areas. And then that's your sort of part of that. So we have two parts of our online course. That's first, the shoring everything up. That's just like as if you were taking a commercial pilot course. And that's getting all that knowledge right to where it needs to be. Then the other 30-hour course, that's a 12-hour course. And the 30-hour is the practical side of things. That's the teaching, fundamental instructing. That's the rest of it. So anyway, there's that. That's our approach to it. It doesn't have to be yours. But if you want to see no light at the end of the tunnel, then start making your own lesson plans and meet with your flight instructor once a week. That's going to be a long haul. And then by the time you get to the end, I don't know if you remember what was in the first lesson you had. So you really want to do things quicker if you can. So anyway, what I would do is I would make a list of the aeronautical knowledge areas that you're shaky on and get an online course or read the PHAC or Airplane Flying Handbook and get proficient instead of creating over, 85 lesson plans that you're going to need. So I wrote our lesson plans, and like I said, they've been used by hundreds of people, right? The other thing you could do is you could use get a if you want to write your own lesson plans, make sure you're looking at somebody else's, but not at other students. Make sure you're looking at ours or someone else's, and then use it as a template, right? So the deal about and the last bit of advice I'll give you before we check out here in a second is, if you make your own lesson plans or you're using ours or anybody else's, you have to teach these lessons out loud. You cannot just read them. What you'll do is you'll run your eye down the page and you'll see something like adverse y'all. And then what will happen is you'll say adverse y'all and go over it, and then that'll be done. Okay, I know. Now teach it. And then when I hear you teach it yourself, you come to that, maybe that word or something else, and you go like adverse, what is that again? I forgot what that was. But you bypassed it in reading because it looked familiar to you. Yes, I've been exposed to that. But when you have to teach it, then you have to have the words for it, and you have to actually know what it is. And so it may be that, it may be anything. So, but you're only going to find this out when you teach it out loud. So we have the class Teach It Out Loud, right? And in Palo Alto, we have two locations, Miami, Palo Alto, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have a volleyball. And if you remember the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks, right? And he's stranded on an island, and he got all these FedEx boxes come up. They crashed, and so one day a volleyball shows up, and it's a Wilson volleyball. So he calls it, puts a face on it, calls it Wilson, talks to it, right? And so we have Wilson in our, we have a volleyball with a face on it, and if you need it, you can put it there and talk to Wilson, whatever. You can talk to your cat, you can talk to yourself. It doesn't really matter. The thing to know is you've got to voice it out loud so you can hear where you stumble. So whatever path you choose, be sure you understand the lesson plan. It's not designed to teach you something. If you have a lesson plan that basically is teaching you adverse y'all, this lesson plan is too big. You have to think about things as being an outline, right? It needs to be an outline of the sub. Maybe it captures some key points, but it's not going to teach you anything, or it shouldn't. If it's teaching you something, then you're not ready to teach it yet, right? So it's just like if you imagine Tim Cook of Apple, as you look at the keynotes, it's always like a big line of text comes out, one line of text, or not much more, maybe a big image. And then he starts talking from that point. Because he knows what he needs to say about it. But imagine if he decided to use someone else's keynote for that, and then he goes and something slides up and he doesn't know what it is. He's familiar, and he looked at it ahead of time, yeah, I'm familiar with it, but he didn't practice it, didn't say anything about it. What'll happen is he'll fumble, and that won't be good. So that's what you want to do. So anyway, that's kind of what I wanted to say. I also wanted to let you know that our lesson plans have been just revamped. And there's also a little bit of confusion I wanted to clear up between our lesson plans, like flight instructor lesson plans. There's also something called instrument flight instructor lesson plans. Those are pretty obvious what those are. So the flight instructor ones cover private, recreational, sport, and commercial with all the technical subject areas. And then the instrument covers instrument rating for airplane and also instrument rating for flight instructor. But the other thing that's there is something called Teach Brief Fly. And that's a book in three parts. So the first book is basically a replication of the flight instructor lesson plans, right? So that's what's in the first chapter. So that's a comprehensive lesson plan for every single technical subject. Then the second part of the book is called, there are whiteboard drawings. So it looks like a whiteboard, and these are called pre-flight briefings. So if the student has already taken a ground school, then you would go right to these, right? Because these are how do you do a steep turn, how do you do this, so with artwork and everything there. So you present the lesson, the 10-minute pre-flight briefing, or 5-minute pre-flight briefing correctly. And then the last part of the book is what to say in the airplane. So it's the precise words to say while you're demonstrating a maneuver. So that three things together. So if you have our lesson plans, then you don't, it depends on how long ago you bought them. If you buy them within a year, we give you an update, so you'll have that. But if you're thinking, if you have them and you really want to, if you want them again, the newest ones, then get Teach Brief Fly instead. There's also a companion guide to that for the student. So when you say, we're going to do steep turn, slow flight stalls, and then there's a companion guide which says, then there's an introduction, which says, here's what this is all about for this maneuver. Then there's, go read this in the Airplane Flying Handbook or PHAC or wherever it's at. Then there's a quiz. So then you know if the student is prepared for the lesson, because having a student not prepared for the lesson is no good. So that's that. There's one other thing I wanted to say here. Let me just review, make sure we're on the right handbook. Yeah, these handbooks are getting really, really, really big. So anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to say. So if you want to see a preview of these, because, you know, you just go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and then you can look. You'll find lesson plans in there. You'll see them. And you also get a email soon about those. So there's that. So until that's all I have to say for you for this week. I do say that we do have an the other thing I wanted to say is we do have a class that's coming up. So if you're interested in becoming a flight instructor, you only have a limited amount of time to get on to the January class. That's going to be here in Miami, and it's going to be January the 10th. If you're still unsure, we have two classes in February. One's going to be in Miami. That's going to be on February the 7th. They all end Monday through Sunday. And then we also have another one, which we're doing in Palo Alto, which is going to be the 21st through the 27th. So that's two there. So, but there's time to run short because we need to get examiner availability and all that. But anyway, there's that. And I will talk to you again in 2 weeks. And that is Flight Training the Way I See It.
This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.